There are lots of things in life that can produce a sense of entitlement. You owe me. Give me what you got. Let me take. Can I have? What have you done for me lately? Kids who are labeled gifted and talented figure this out, that they have a kind of, that they have a right to the best instruction, the best grades. And occasionally I run into honor students who've sort of perverted this into a set of expectations that become entitlement. Prince Harry got to throw out the first ball at a Mets game last night. I've always wanted to do that. He apparently picked his parents better than I did. A sense of entitlement that comes from simply being born at the right place, at the right time, to the right people. Religious entitlement sometimes comes into our consciousness in some way. I remember as an intern pastor in Joliet, Illinois, the Catholic hospital in town used to let clergy eat lunch for free. So I always timed my hospital visits. You know, about 11:30, we'll go see so-and-so in the hospital. And oh, on the way out, have a little lunch. Wear a clerical collar, pass right on through. And of course, you get to know the people when you do this every single day. Until one day, there was a new person taking the money, which they didn't take my money. And I had neglected to wear the clerical collar, and I had to pay for my lunch. And all of a sudden, this wonderful gift became something to which I was entitled. And when I didn't get it that one day, I got mad. Entitlement. Well, to paraphrase John Kennedy, ask not what your God can do for you. Our job as people of God is to ask what we can do for our God, our church, our community, our country. What is the answer to that? What does God want from us as a result of giving us the blessings we share in life? Fortunately, there's a very clear and precise and direct answer for once. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, Micah chapter 6, verse 8, the question, what does the Lord require of you? A simple answer, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Three-point sermon, laying out right before us in the Old Testament, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. What does it mean to do justice? It's a tricky concept. Justice is similar in some ways, but in others very different from fairness. Imagine the race for resources, whether it be material resources, social, emotional, relational. It's fair to line everybody up on the starting line, shoot the gun off, and whoever's got the best intellect, muscles, whatever it takes, it's a fair fight at least. You all started at the same place, but that's an illusion. We do not all start at the same place. The starting line in the race for resources is actually a grid. The Boston Marathon, the biggest, baddest marathon race in America, doesn't have a starting line wide enough to accommodate everybody that's running, and so people line up behind the front starting line. And the people at the back of the pack, once they fire the gun off, it takes them 30 or 40 minutes just to get to the starting line, but the clock still runs. Now, where the Boston Marathon is both unjust and unfair is the people at the start of the line are the world's most elite runners. We ought to put them at the back. But we don't. The race for resources is on a grid, and to do justice is to recognize this. The area that comprises Midtown Manhattan, where the best hotels are in Central Park and so on, is of this country's 435 congressional districts. It is in the top 10 of per capita wealth and resources. The area where Yankee Stadium sits in the South Bronx, under the river and through the woods, is, of the 435 congressional districts in America, in the bottom 10. To go from the most wealthy to the least wealthy in America, you need only take a 20-minute, 10-stop subway ride from Midtown Manhattan to Yankee Stadium. The question becomes, which side of the river do you want to be born on? How well did you pick your parents? Where do you want to send your kids to school? What hospitals would you like to be able to go to? To do justice is to recognize that there are some who need a leg up. We build wheelchair ramps, although we haven't done so until this current generation, or maybe one prior, recognize that handicap parking, wheelchair ramps, and so on are a kind of justice initiative. Churches that were built in the early quarter of the 20th century have, in many instances to great expense, struggled to make their buildings handicapped accessible and so on. It's just a metaphor for how we recognize that getting to a place of resources, the people who come here don't start at the same place. It's no more complicated than the handicap system in golf or any other sport. It's more fun to, in some sense, bring some people forward, giving them strokes, as it were, to make the game more interesting, to make the game, in some sense, more just. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice. Think of wheelchair ramps, the handicap system in golf, and apply the logic of that to our relationships with others. And we begin to understand what it means to do justice. To love kindness. Kindness, as it's been translated, is often also translated in other versions of the text, mercy. To go beyond what is entitled to you in the way of recompense. To love kindness, to be merciful, essentially means to give up your absolute right to get even with somebody who's done you wrong. And in part, this builds on the notion that we don't all start at the same place. We wonder why some people make the choices they do, why they get involved in some of the destructive things that they find themselves in the midst of. One of the questions I pose to my students, why do you suppose some kids get involved in the drug trade? Why do they use drugs? Why do they sell drugs? There's an answer. This piece that was written in the New York Times several years ago, it, I think, has among the most compelling opening lines of anything I've ever read. It goes like this. On a spring morning 4 years ago in a dead-end neighborhood in Chicago, it was Jovan Rogers' turn to sell a little bag of crack that, added to the bags that he figured were sure to follow, could buy him gym shoes and girlfriends and maybe keep the electric company from turning off the lights at his mother's apartment again. Why do some kids get involved in the drug trade? It seems like a good idea at the time. It keeps the lights on. It provides for him what everybody wants, the trappings of success, people who care about him, and simply the bare necessities of life up to and including a light bulb. Of course, he pays the price for being involved in the drug trade. He winds up getting wounded by a bullet. He winds up in jail. And after all of that has happened in the course of doing some vocational counseling, he says he'd be happy to find a job paying $6 or $7 an hour. But at the end of the day, and at the end of this piece, no one but the drug dealers seem willing to hire him. To love kindness, to engage in at least merciful reflection, is to enter into the situation where others are, to understand why they make the choices they do. It's called cultural relativism. That's the technical term. To understand the decisions people make by understanding the conditions under which they make them, which are different from the conditions under which maybe you make decisions. There are parts of the world where arranged marriages are still in vogue. It seems like a good idea in that context. And we can judge the arrangement of marriages or even polygamous marriages or other things that are culturally abhorrent or foreign to us. We can judge them as unreasonable for us, but to love kindness or mercy even, to understand the behavior of others from their own perspective is, I think, what the Lord requires of us. And in our own context and culture at the end of the day, it at least gives us enough of an insight that when we are absolutely entitled to get even, we can perhaps forego the right to revenge and simply hold others responsible for their own actions. It is the essence of what folks who wind up in treatment for drug and alcoholism do as a result of an intervention. An intervention is a way of holding someone responsible without trying to get even with them. The difference between responsibility and revenge is to love kindness, to show mercy, by entering into an understanding of where people are coming from, even though they make decisions that seem irrational to us. What does the Lord require? To do justice, to recognize the value of the handicap system, to love kindness, to give up our right to revenge, and help others be responsible. And thirdly, to walk humbly with our God. Humility. What produces that? Humility, I think, is a confrontational idea. from the notion that in God's eyes, and from the standpoint of whether anyone is entitled to salvation, for example, the answer is no one is entitled from God's point of view. You can, if you wish, assemble your list of sins and compare them to the list of sins that other people have, and you can certainly not have to look very far to find someone whose list of sins is seemingly longer than yours, which can produce a sense of entitlement, until you realize that unless your list is zero, we're all in the same boat. To walk humbly with our God is to recognize the value of this incredible gift, that God has chosen, for reasons known only unto God, to love us more than extract his own right to revenge. And let me have you imagine it this way, to recognize the value of the gift, the value of something that is seemingly taken for granted. Imagine on your way home today, you notice a penny on the sidewalk. Probably tempted to let it just, it's hardly worth the energy it takes to reach down and pick it up, the value of a penny. But let's pretend you do, all right? You pick the penny up, and before you toss it in that little jar of coins that we all have that every couple of years we turn in for the value of a dinner, you know, you notice that it's a wheat penny. It's an old penny. On the back, it's got that wheat design that they stopped making in the 40s. An old coin. You turn it around and it's a 1909 penny, which is the first year that pennies were made to honor the 100th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth. 1909, it's the first year. It's got an S under the date, which means it was minted in San Francisco that made a whole lot fewer pennies than in Philadelphia. It's a 1909 S, and on the back, the initials of the designer, Victor David Brenner, VBD, they only made about 300,000 or 400,000 of these things. And if you have a 1909 SVDB penny in your possession, you can sell it on eBay for about $5,000. So that penny that you almost didn't pick up, you now go immediately to the nearest coin shop, have it encased in plastic, and maybe go and put it in a safety deposit box because you figured out it was valuable. So also tomorrow morning's sunrise. So also the next time you are in the company of someone who loves you. The value of that is uncountable. And to recognize the value of what we are given every day, such that we're tempted to take it as equally for granted as a penny on the sidewalk, the more we recognize the value of the seemingly insignificant or gifts that simply go by us without thought, the more likely we are to do justice and love kindness, it would seem to me. There's a very interesting paradox in this. We don't get into heaven by doing good things, because nobody can do enough good things to make it work. Well, if that's the case, why bother to do good things at all? Well, if you imagine your life, lifestyle, and choices as the text of a thank you note to God for the gift he's given you of life and love and daisies and sunrises, you simply cannot help but do better than you might have otherwise. Your behavior changes inevitably when you recognize the value of the gift. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to recognize the value of a leg up for someone, the value of the leg up that you will need someday, to love kindness, that helping people be responsible is more helpful to you and to them than getting even with them, and to walk humbly with your God in the company of those who embody the blessings of God's love. And you will, once you understand the value of the 1909 SVD penny or tomorrow's sunrise, you will behave in ways that are more consistent with what God wants, and life for you will be not only what God requires, but what God grants, and that is goodness and grace and peace and mercy. Amen.